So let me ask you all a question. Why would he allow me to go through this if he was with me? And when we have those questions, oftentimes we feel like we want to give up, don't we? Some of us, okay? We just want to give up. We just want to throw in the towel. We want to quit. Okay? But my other question this morning is, what if Jesus said that he didn't want to go to the cross? What if he said that dying for us just wasn't worth it? I don't even know you. It's not worth it. It's too difficult. Think about that for a second. Jesus makes that decision to say, I'm not going to the cross. And when you think about that, you almost got to take a step back a little bit and say, whoa. But the reality is, and we know that Jesus didn't do that, did he? Okay. He didn't quit on us. He didn't give up on us. Instead, he persevered to the end, which teaches us a lot about faith, the mindset that we need to have to be victorious in our daily walk with him. So turn with me to Hebrews 12, and we'll start off in verse 1. And the title of my message this morning is just that, being victorious, in our daily walk. Being victorious in our daily walk. Hebrews 12, and we'll start out in verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as a son. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. My first point this morning is always keep the end in mind. Always keep the end in mind. You know, in verse 2, it talks about Jesus endured because of the joy that was set before him. And we ask ourselves, well, what was that joy that was set before Jesus? You know, we know that joy was obviously seeing each and every one of us be reconciled and have that relationship with God. That joy was one day being with him and God Almighty in heaven. There's no more pain, no more frustration, no more discouragement, but joy. Joy, incredible joy. And when you think about that, what makes you joyful? You know, what makes you joyful right now? You know, I can look over and I can see my wife, I can see my son, my two sons. I mean, my wife just gave birth 5 weeks ago. And to be able to see life, that is joyful, okay? That is joyful. To be able to know that you have someone who loves you, that is joyful. Okay? And it just fires us up. But it says Jesus kept that joy in front of him. That was the end goal, to see us reconciled, to see us one day be with him and God Almighty in heaven. That is joyful. But my question to you is, how do you perceive hardship and suffering? Now, Jesus said he endured the cross, scorning its shame. Now, we've all read the cross, and we know the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual abuse that Jesus had to endure for us. But unlike Jesus, when we go through those difficult times, we get fixated on the pain, on the problems, right? Okay? But what did Jesus do? Jesus looked at those situations and saw them rather as a means to an end. He recognized that he had to go through this in order to fulfill the promise, in order to ensure that we would one day be reconciled, in order to ensure that one day we would be with him in paradise. And so we're all familiar with James 1. You can turn there real quickly. And in James 1, starting in verse 2, James says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does." So what does James tell us that we need to do? He says we need to consider it pure joy whenever we face trials of many kinds. And if you look up the word consider, it really talks about to think about. And so when you kind of let that marinate in your mind to think about, we talk about a paradigm shift. We're talking about a mind change. We need to think about things differently. Now, I don't know about you, but the reality is that when I'm going through something difficult, the last thing on my mind is to consider it joyful. Right? Okay? And my wife can attest to that. Okay? The last thing on my mind is being joyful. I'm an emotional person, and so I tend to go up and down. Okay? But the reality is I have to learn to be joyful, because I've got to see that what I'm going through is a means to an end. But what it shows me is that my inability to be joyful during these trials says a lot about my lack of faith, that I'm faithless, that God is not enough, that I need something else. And as a result of that, God cannot be glorified because of my faithlessness, my pride, my stubbornness, because I think I can do it. It tells me to consider it pure joy. In other words, be surrendered. Let it go. Lay it at the foot of the cross. Because when we do that, we know that we will be victorious. Jesus tells us that we need to come to him and we will find rest. I need to be obedient. But when I fail to do that, I'm unstable. That's what the scripture says, is that we are double-minded. We're unstable in all that we do. And when you think about it, it's the truth. I mean, you are unstable. I'm up and down. People don't know, hey, what's going on with this guy? That you're supposed to be a Christian. What kind of God do you serve? You're going through this situation and you're panicking. Do I really want to serve the God that you serve if you can't handle this situation? And again, that's convicting. It's convicting because I've been a disciple since 1996, and yet I still continue to struggle. Again, it says a lot about my faithlessness. But I've got to hold on to the scriptures and go through that mind change and recognize that what I'm going through, I need to be joyful about. I need to learn to see that what God is doing is for my best. He knows what is best for me. Because the scripture says in Hebrews that we will one day share in his holiness. But I've got to go through this. I've got to go through the fire. Because as I go through these difficult times, God is transforming me into the likeness of his son, Jesus Christ. This is why, again, it's so important for me to look at challenges and trials and hardships as opportunities to learn and grow. Now, how about you? Do you see failure as a learning opportunity? Are you afraid to fail? Do you allow failure and hardship to consume you to the point that you are obsessed with trying to be perfect? And are you afraid to fail, finding yourself unwilling to take that leap of faith? Again, our inability to trust God. Well, see, we must look at failure differently. Again, that paradigm shift, that mind change, we must look at failure differently. Failure is part of the learning process. Failure is how we learn and grow. If we are afraid to fail, then we die. And see, I believe that was Jesus' heart. He was not afraid to fail. We saw him in the garden. He prayed and prayed and prayed, but he was not afraid to fail. He was not afraid to be vulnerable. He was not afraid to let people know what was going on in his life. He laid it out there and did not care what anyone thought because he trusted God Almighty. And so as I read this, I realize that's how I need to be. That's how we need to be. We cannot be afraid to fail. We need to embrace failure. Because as we do that, we are able to keep the end in mind. And as the scripture says, is that perseverance must finish its work so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Not lacking anything. I mean, think about that for a second. As you go through these challenges, as you fail, God said that there's a purpose for this failure so that you will not lack anything. You will be mature and complete. And as a result of that, you know, our ministry, our ability to go out and help others to see God Almighty becomes evident because they will look at us and say, there's something different. There's something different. And that is encouraging. Now, in order to keep the end in mind, we need to make sure that we need to forget the past. That's point number two. You know, we've got to be able to forget the past. In Philippians 3, starting in verse 13, Paul writes, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." How many sports fans do we have in here? Was that Tracy Burns in the back? Yeah, all right. It's Ohio State Buckeyes, of course. Yeah, all right. All right. Okay. All right. So we have enough sports fans in here. Well, you know, in sports, you know, oftentimes, you know, analysts will talk about having a short memory, right? You know, they'll talk about quarterbacks who throw interceptions that they need to have a short memory. Pitchers who give up a home run, and you know, those of you who don't know, I'm from right outside of Philadelphia, and the Phillies lost last night, so I'm a little discouraged. Ryan Matson gave up a home run. But the reality is, you know, you have to have a short memory. And when you think about that, you're saying, well, why do you have to have a short memory? They need to be able to go back and figure out what they did wrong and, you know, to make sure it doesn't happen again. You know that's true. But when you're in the heat of the moment, you got to be able to do that quickly. And you got to realize, you know what, it was a mistake. It won't happen again. I'll make the adjustment. And that's the beauty, I think, of sports sometimes, is that, particularly in football, is what they call halftime. Okay? And so we know in the first half, a team can go out there, and they could really lay the wood on you. All right? To the point that you feel like, you know what? I'm not going back out there. And that's what they want to do. But you know that there's a second half. Okay? There's another half to play. And that really should fire us up because that's really what our daily walk is about. You know, there's always a second half. Your morning may start out really bad, but you know what? There's still 24 hours in a day. And because of that, you got to make the adjustment quickly and not allow Satan to get that foothold. But we need to keep in mind that our inability to have that short-term memory makes us ineffective and unproductive for God. And let's talk about some ways in which we can be ineffective and unproductive when we're unable to forget the past. Now, we know that God is a loving God. We know that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. We know God is full of grace and compassion. He is the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort. And yet I know for me, and it may not be necessarily the case for all of you, but you know, forgiving myself, when I know that God has forgiven me, and if I have an inability to forgive myself, then I find myself stuck. Okay? Stuck in the past, enslaved to the past. And Satan continues to beat me up, you know? It's just like a boxer, you know? His arms are up like this, but he's just getting pounded left and right. And this can only do so much before you just, you know, or your you know, your manager just throws in the towel and throws the fight. So I've got to be able to forgive myself. We've got to be able to forgive ourselves. If God has forgiven us, then we don't need to hold on to it anymore. And as a result of that, we feel helpless, as I say. We feel helpless giving Satan that foothold. But we must remember that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. A great cloud of witnesses, men and women who have gone on before us, showing us what it means to be faithful, showing us what it means to forget the past and continue to strain towards what is ahead. And these witnesses are spurring us on. And to kind of put it in perspective, the congregation, one another, we can spur one another on towards greatness, towards the great things that God has in store for us. And that means no matter how difficult it is, we have to continue to throw off everything that hinders us. That's what the scripture says, everything. And everything means just that, everything that hinders us. And the sin that so easily entangles, sin is crafty, right? It can easily entangle us. Next thing you know, you think you're doing fine. The next minute, bam, it just got you, you know? Now, some of you might be too young to remember this, but there is a TV sitcom back in the 90s called In Living Color. And there used to be two guys, David Alan Greer and Tommy Davidson, and they used to be like these big promoters. And basically, they were con artists. But every time, you know, David would get up there and he started talking about how he had all these connections and he wanted to give the guy a card, Tommy would come up and he would say, "Yeah, let me show you." Bam! And he would throw out the card, right? Y'all might remember that, right? Those of us, that was funny. And that's how sin is sometimes, right? You know, you're walking along and bam, it just hits you. Like, how in the world did this happen? Or you got to come right back with it. You got to be on the offensive. You know, you got to say, you know what? Put it behind me. Get behind me, Satan. I'm not going to let you get me down. It says, you know, run with perseverance the race marked out for me. Perseverance. To continue your course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. Perseverance. To continue your course of action. And that's what we have to do, forgetting the past. Do not let it enslave you. Forget it. It is gone. Move forward. And I think what also can kind of help us to do that, and this is my last point, is to be motivated by God's grace. Be motivated by God's grace. If you turn to 1 Peter, 1 Peter 5, and we'll start in verse 10. Now, leading up to this scripture, you know, Peter just talks about how God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. He talks about how we need to humble ourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift us up in due time, cast all our anxiety on him because he cares for us, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. And in verse 10, it says, and the God of all grace, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while. Did you see that? After you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. It says God is the God of all grace. And the scripture says he himself, the Lord Almighty himself, will restore us, making us strong, firm, and steadfast after we have suffered a little while. So we know that we must go through suffering. Why? Because suffering is part of the pruning process. It's part of the refining process. It's part of God's master plan to make us into the likeness of his son, Jesus Christ. It's building our spiritual character. And so when we go through all these different seasons, it's important to keep in mind that it is character building time. Now, for many of us, you know, with all the challenges that have been going on in the church, some of us have been a little lukewarm. And so as we try to gear things up and we try to get things back on track, you know, we go through this pruning process because we remember in many ways how far we have fallen. We remember that we've kind of gotten off track and we've got to get back on track. And it's not easy. We've gotten complacent. We've gotten comfortable. And so oftentimes, you know, we need something to remind us where we need to be. And so God allows us to go through a pruning process, to experience hardship and failure so that he can rebuild our character. And let's be real. I mean, it's not easy to practice that consistently, to understand that this mind shift, that God is all grace, that he himself is going to come back from some of that I need to embrace this suffering, that I need to be joyful. It's not easy. But see, that's part of us trying to close the gap. That's part of us trying to train ourselves. To train ourselves to see what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 7:8, where he says, the end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. The end of a matter is better than its beginning. Now, when I read that, that encourages me. And I hope it encourages each and every one of you. Because, again, we don't want to get fixated on where you are right now. Because God tells us that the end of the matter is better than its beginning. And that patience is better than pride. Resist the temptation to be prideful. Resist the temptation to blame God. Be patient. Wait for God. Know that he has your best interest at heart. Do not allow Satan to deceive you and cause your heart to harden. Because if he does, then you walk away. You quit. Satan has won. And we don't want him to win. If we're going to be victorious in our daily walk with God, we've got to remember that God has a plan for us. And as it says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And so as we go through this hardship, we need to realize that this hardship allows us to reach our full potential. We need to be faithful, recognizing that faith is what being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. We cannot afford to allow our past or the challenging times or the hardships to cause us to be faithless. We need to realize that God is faithful, that God is faithful to his promises, meaning his plan not to harm us but to give us a hope and a future is true. It is true, and we need to believe that. So as we begin this week and as the challenges and trials begin, because we know they will begin, we need to remember that we need to always keep the end in mind. We need to forget the past, and we need to be motivated by God's grace on a daily basis. May God be the glory. Amen.
Let's bow our heads and go to God in prayer. Thank you, Father, for hearing that today, Father, for Kyle preaching what's been on his heart, for all the things that you do for us, Father. I pray that you help us to be victorious in our daily walk, Father. Help us to embrace failure, learning and growing through them, to emulate Jesus. Help us to be motivated by God's grace. Help us to think about what it's going to be like to be with you in heaven, Father. Father, I pray that you're with all things, with the building. You know how much we want the building, Father. I pray that if it's your will, it will happen. I know that if it is your will, nothing can stop it. Father, I pray for those that aren't present. I pray for the marrieds. I pray at the retreat today, Father, I pray that they'll have an awesome time and they'll get whatever it is you want them to get out of the weekend. Father, I pray again for those that aren't present, going through spiritual and physical battles. I pray that everything happens according to your will and that you will be glorified through all things. In your son's Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen. Also, Bobby Spellman is being baptized today at 6:30 at the Beckers. Everybody's welcome. You're dismissed.